WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by ZipRecruiter.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In the wake of ABC's suspension of the Jimmy Kimmel Live show over comments on Monday in connection with Charlie Kirk's murder, a Sacramento ABC affiliate says shots were fired into the TV station earlier today. Anthony Gamble with the Sacramento Police Department.
When officers got here, they did observe that the building had been struck by at least one bullet in the window. The building was occupied, and fortunately, nobody was injured.
Anthony Gamble says that investigators don't know if it was a targeted attack. Meantime, Republican Senator Ted Cruz says on the podcast Verdict with Ted Cruz that FCC Chairman Brendan Carr's comments about doing it the easy way or the hard way after the preempting of Kimmel's show are concerning. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Film and TV writers protested outside ABC headquarters in New York. Today, Michael Eisner, the former CEO of ABC's parent company, Disney, slammed his successors, posting, "Where has all the leadership gone? Who will step up for the First Amendment?"
A public memorial service for Charlie Kirk is being held on Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. Attendance for the ceremony will be free, but organizers are asking for people to register online and get a ticket. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
Those going should expect airport-style screening and a strict no-bag policy. Police are already warning about long lines at the gates and asking people to be patient.
Another hit on a suspected drug smuggling vessel. President Trump says the U.S. military has carried out its third deadly strike this month in the U.S. Southern Command area. He says three men killed and no U.S. forces harmed. A CDC vaccine advisory committee wants COVID-19 shots to be an individual decision and has declined to recommend that all Americans get a COVID shot. CBS's Mark Strassman.
The proposed alteration that the patient get a prescription first was a no-go. The second vote had to do with whether to recommend that somebody seeking a COVID-19 shot of any age would first have an informed conversation with their doctor about the risks and rewards. That passed unanimously.
President Trump says a TikTok deal is about to be sealed.
The president says he spoke with Chinese leader Xi about an agreement to allow TikTok to continue to operate in the United States.
The investors are getting ready.
Speaking in the Oval Office, Trump said there will be no Chinese ownership of the social media app.
These are American investors, all of them.
The president admitted TikTok wasn't always on his radar.
Look, I wasn't a fan of TikTok, and then I got to use it. And I became a fan, and it helped me win the election in a landslide.
The deal could be signed at a regional summit next month. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
This is CBS News.
Are you looking to hire? ZipRecruiter finds the best candidate for your job fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/...
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report. Throughout your day on 540 WAUK.
A close call for Kraft.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam they don't believe it's going to be long-term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room, so I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland, 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison. In their first Big Ten game of the year, is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. There's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new season of Saturday Night Live is just around the corner, and the show has announced guest hosts for the first 3 episodes of season 51. The new season premieres October 4 and will feature Bad Bunny as the show's host. This will be Bad Bunny's first time hosting, although he's appeared previously as a musical guest. The musical guest on October 4th will be Doja Cat. Week 2 will feature SNL alum Amy Poehler on October 11th. She will be joined by musical guest role model. Amy Poehler was a regular cast member from 2001 to 2008 and a former Weekend Update anchor. This will be her second solo stint as a host on the show. She previously hosted with Tina Fey in 2015 and hosted solo in 2010. Sabrina Carpenter will pull double duty as both host and musical guest on October 18th. Her album Man's Best Friend just debuted at number 1 on the Billboard 200 in August. She's been a musical guest, but this will be Carpenter's hosting debut. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, mid-70s. Mostly cloudy, still some storms around, and a high in the mid-70s Sunday. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. It's 71 right now.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17. All coming up. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's
You're
home
for mornings.
You're listening
to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
A kudigi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, we are here with our friend, State Senator Mary Kunesh here of the great state of Minnesota, and we're having our little weekly chat that we normally have. And State Senator, I know you were busy last week, so there's a lot to catch up on, and thank you so much for coming on and checking in with our listeners. And I know they always look forward to your report and what's going on here politically and nationally all over Turtle Island. So welcome as always.
Everyone. Yeah, it has been a super busy couple of weeks. One week that we didn't get to talk a little bit about was the new stand of tribal flags on our Capitol lawn. Yeah. So now if you come and visit us at the Capitol, the lower level, you'll see a lovely half circle arc of all 11 tribal flags. There was a beautiful ceremony. It was that really cold morning that we had, and everybody was bundled up for it. Mm-hmm. But the tribal leaders, the community were there, and it's just really, I think for me and for many of our tribal folks, our Indigenous folks, to see our flags flying out there. These are just Minnesota, so no Standing Rock flag for me, no Ho-Chunk flag for you. But we still have our tribes here in Minnesota, the 11 tribes of the Dakota and Anishinaabe, now visible at the state capitol. And so I hope that anybody, if you're driving around St. Paul, just drive by the lower level and you'll see that little park area. I've started to work on creating a veterans memorial for our Native folks, because as we said, our Native folks serve this country at the highest level of almost any other population, and certainly have not gotten the recognition for that. So that happened a couple weeks ago. And then this week I was in Kansas City a couple days talking about homeless youth and how we can address that in the educational system here in Minnesota. And then Ed Finance. I'm the chair of education finance here in Minnesota. And so I work with a cohort of other legislators from across the country trying to figure this out.
Yeah, and also, well, I just got to say, too, I was at the Capitol for Recovery Day at the Capitol and for Chemical Dependency Recovery and got to see the flags. I was in New York during the ceremony, so it was a great job. And, you know, the memorial for Native Americans, too. I know Ho-Chunk's got highways named after him just recently, the Code Talkers, and that's something that would be really great that you could lead the way again here in Minnesota with talking and doing something like that. That's awesome.
Right. So as the Trump administration looks to erase a lot of our history, not just the indigenous people, but folks of colors and those that have been depressed, women, African-American, Asian and South Pacific. I'm really proud that Minnesota continues to recognize the value of our indigenous communities, both now and in the past, and, you know, work hard to create a future for all of us.
Absolutely. So there's been some craziness here, you know, with the guns and everything. And, I mean, you don't really have to comment on this, but my God, prayers out to the victims, all victims, the children, the adults of gun violence here in this country. It's just a really sad, and I know there's things coming up, and there's things talking about in the Capitol. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what's going on here in Minnesota.
Sure. So just to remind folks, earlier this summer, we had a horrible, horrible assassination of Melissa Hortman and her husband, Mark. She was the leader in the House. And then the attempted assassination of State Senator John Hoffman. His wife was also shot pretty severely, which threw us all into just that spiral of horror and recognizing that at any time we can become a victim of that violence. And when I say we, politicians, well, anybody really, but specifically politicians. And it was very scary for those first few days. We didn't know what was happening, who was at it, if it was a one person or a big deal, you know, a big group of people. I did find a hit list. I was on that hit list. If you ever, you know, you just don't can't even imagine these things happening. And so, yeah, we're really concerned about what's going on. And of course, within days, they found an intruder in our Capitol in the middle of the night in the on the floor. You know, so we had to stop and examine a lot of things and reorganize our lives. And, we, you know, we have members in our Senate that are still receiving some pretty horrific threats of murder and violence. And I just want folks to know that we take that very seriously. The lieutenant governor received one from a guy in another state. The FBI tracked it down. They are prosecuting him. And so if you make threats to politicians, whether verbally, by email, or however, to do bodily harm and violence, you will be charged to the, you know, to the full extent of the law. And these are federal charges. These are like felonies. These are federal charges. And so almost all of us have, you know, put security systems into our homes. They're looking at building a safer state capitol because we don't have any security other than our sergeant of arms and our state patrol. Thank you all for the work that you do. But this week we had, and when I say we, I mean the Senate, and I mean the Democrat, the DFL Democrat senators held a hearing, two hearings around gun safety and what is some really common sense pieces of legislation that we can put forward. And I wasn't able because I was in Kansas. I was supposed to sit on that committee, but I had already made a commitment. And so our Democrats came with, you know, some really basic common sense pieces of legislation. You know, we wanted to look at extreme risk protection orders. We want to expand background checks. We want to ban those binary triggers that allow that, that, you know, that continual firing. Mm-hmm. We wanted to look at different ways to improve mental health, some around school safety and that sort of thing. And our GOP members just brought up anything and everything not to discuss gun safety. And so it was, in a way, unproductive because, well, and it wasn't, we aren't in session, so we can't pass any legislation. But I think it really made a statement about who's really willing to do something, because after the shootings at the elementary school at Annunciation, those parents are screaming, they are crying, yeah. They are sobbing, they are demanding that we do something about this, not just, you know, nibble around the edges.
Absolutely. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in the next segment and also see what you've been up to. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGD.org.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. We are here. This is Native Roots Radio, and here with State Senator Mary Kunish. And we're just catching up on the last couple of weeks. And you were right in the middle of a story before we had to go to the break, and about the church shootings and the people coming to the Capitol. Do you mind finishing up on what you said there? That's really heartbreaking and needs to be brought up again.
Folks have a little bit of background. We had a really horrific incident here in Minnesota where a shooter shot through the stained glass windows at a small parochial school here in Minnesota. It was, you know, of course, again, one of the most heartbreaking things in the world when our children are killed. And, you know, many of us practice a religion. We gather in our churches, in our mosques, in our temples, wherever. And those, you know, everywhere should be a safe place, but a place of worship and children. So the shooter, you know, opened fire that killed Harper Moisky, just a little 10-year-old, and Fletcher Merkel, an 8-year-old. 21 other children and adults were wounded. Little Sophia Forkas, who was 12 years old, she spent 15 days in critical condition from a gunshot wound to the head, and has been in very serious condition for quite a bit of time. And you know, we look at all of the shootings that have happened. And if I'm not mistaken, I saw a number not too long ago that it was large enough that there was a mass shooting every day plus of the year in the last year. Mm-hmm. And it is absolutely important that we address the gun violence in our community. We understand that mental health plays a huge role in these things. But it's not the only thing that we have to look at. And I know our GOP members want to look at, you know, mental health, of course. And we've been providing so much money to our schools for that. But, you know, when you look at what's going on at the federal level and the cuts to Medicaid, that's going to have a huge impact on the increase in mental health issues. And we don't have enough treatment beds here in Minnesota. And so the proposals from the GOP were, you know, just surface sort of things, not focusing on guns at all. We really did want to look at banning assault weapons and their high volume magazines, those sort of things. But GOP were just not interested in talking about that. We had parents at the hearings. We had faith leaders at the hearing. Mm-hmm. You know, both of us were teachers.
Right.
And I'm sure both you as well as I went through many, you know, intruder or scary situation practice drills.
Yeah.
But, you know, you
traumatic.
Wonder.
That was who's traumatic, that? Wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know, and I was in a K-5 school. And if I had kindergartners or little kids, you know, some of the littles in my library, and I had to get them into a place where if somebody walked by the outside windows, they wouldn't be able to see them. If somebody came to the door, and of course, these are all glass. The doors are glass, the windows are glass on all these sides. And those poor little kids would be just, you know, hunkered down, shaking, you know, is this real? Is this real? The fact that we do that is just horrifying. But the fact that it has happened and kids kind of knew what to do. There were older kids that protected younger kids. I mean, honestly.
Well,
so,
earlier on, I just got to jump in, State Senator, and there's 120 and a half guns per 100 people in the U.S. So I have one shotgun. I don't even know if it works, and it was from hunting, and it was from my father years and years ago, but I don't have 120 guns.
Yeah.
Well, somebody must have 500 guns to make up for that.
They're probably very much, it could very well be that they are. And I get that there are collectors, there are, but I'm, you know, we're looking at these weapons of death, these death weapons of war that can shoot off a bajillion bullets that just are going to tear a person apart. I mean, the guy who shot Melissa Hortman and her husband and then went to John Hoffman's house, and he and his wife were shot through the door.
What?
They were shot through their front door, and they sustained serious permanent injury.
Well, they had like nine and eight shots, respectively, that pierced them.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if it had been full on, it would have just you know, destroyed their bodies. Honestly, how is it that we need those kind of weapons here in our country? You know, I somebody asked me at the conference I was at about this, and I mentioned that Minnesota is a you can conceal and carry. I don't know of any Democrats that carry guns onto the Capitol floor, or to the Capitol, or on our Senate floor, or into our committee hearings. But I do know some GOP members that do. And they said, do you feel safe? And, you know, and they let you know that they've got them. I mean, it's not like you wouldn't know that they're carrying them. It's very clear. They make it very clear that they've got it tucked into their the back of their waistband.
They like to show that off. It's an extension of something.
But no, I don't feel safe. I do not feel safe. And sometimes we have, you know, heated discussions on the floor. And I look around and I make sure in my mind, I know the exits or how to get down or how to, you know, conceal myself. And should we do that? I don't think we should have to do that. Our Senate, chamber has balconies in the front and behind us. You know, we are sitting ducks. And so I know there is a lot of work going on to ensure that we have, you know, that we probably will add some of those safety controls in our Capitol.
But I hope so, because that's a good point. And I've been to the, Capitol, Washington, D.C., and all the security I went into just to go see, I think it was a legislature, you know, I got to see all those people, and there was no way. I mean, there's got to be something in between at least to protect you guys.
Yeah, there is not at this time. And so it's interesting, you know, as we look at the rising issues around mental health, especially in our kids, as I said, the Democrats in control have put considerable dollars into student support systems, nurses, psychologists, social workers, those counseling, those sort of things. What I really worry about now is are the cuts that are probably going to be coming from the federal government. We just heard a report about the U.S. Department of Education rejected Rochester, Minnesota, where the Mayo Clinic is here in Minnesota. Right. They rejected the Rochester Public Schools appeal to reinstate a $1.9 million grant to train those social workers. You know, especially when, you know, the whole DEI thing, and Rochester said, you know, we pledge not to consider race when we are selecting those candidates. But they received a letter, apparently. This is from the Star Tribune. The department repeated its position that the district's program had run afoul of federal civil rights law and more generally issues around fairness by prioritizing underrepresented groups in its selection process. And so they had received an initial termination letter in April. They wrote back saying, we can adjust these things, but that's a lot of money, $1.9 million. Totally. Imagine how many personnel we would be able to access, how much training for our classroom teachers. You know, and that's the other thing we haven't talked about, the stress, the additional stress and trauma to classroom teachers when you're the only adult in a classroom and you're responsible for those students for whatever happens. You know, I was talking to one of my schools after the shooting, and that principal or that superintendent was saying, yeah, now we're applying for grants for tourniquets. I mean, do you feel like you're in Gaza or something? It's amazing what our school personnel have to deal with, when really we should just be able to go in and teach the three R's, some art and music and dance, and read a lot of good library books. But no, we have to figure out.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. At least one bullet went through the window of a Sacramento, California ABC TV affiliate this afternoon. Anthony Gamble with the Sacramento Police Department says no injuries.
I don't know motive, right? I don't know if this was targeted or if this was a random act. But what I can tell you is our detectives are on scene and they're going to be conducting follow-up. We're going to try to figure out who's responsible for this.
This comes after ABC suspension of the Jimmy Kimmel live show after comments made about Charlie Kirk's death. Thousands of people are expected to attend a Glendale, Arizona memorial service for Kirk. CBS's Andres Gutierrez.
Security is expected to be extremely tight. The Department of Homeland Security has classified the memorial as a level one security event.
Health Secretary RFK Jr.'s vaccine advisors change COVID shot guidance, making them an individual choice. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder.
No prescription is required to get the COVID vaccine, and health insurance plans will continue to cover the COVID vaccine that is unchanged.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
A close call for Kraft. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers were holding practice yesterday when suddenly Tucker Kraft went down with a knee injury after an exam they don't believe it's going to be long-term. Now, the Packers play the Browns on Sunday. Can Luke Musgrave or John Fitzpatrick fill Kraft's spot at tight end? Offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich.
I like our room with the tight end room, so I think, you know, we'll be able to figure out the best path forward depending on what happens there with Tucker.
Badger football, Wisconsin against Maryland. 11 a.m. tomorrow in Madison in their first Big Ten game of the year. Is this where they can start to turn the program around? Quarterback Danny O'Neill.
Yeah, absolutely. We're 2-1 right now. There's a lot of teams that are the same way. So just being able to, you know, go execute against Big Ten opponents. And yeah, like you said, everything that we want is still in front of us.
Baseball, the Brewers in St. Louis tonight against the Cards. Milwaukee's magic number now down to 4 after sweeping the Angels last night 5-2. Quinn Priester's 12th win in a row. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
540 WAUK, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Legendary director Martin Scorsese is 82 years old, but showing no signs of slowing down. Variety reports that the Oscar winner will direct an adaptation of What Happens at Night, a ghost story novel written by Peter Cameron that came out in 2023. The story follows an American couple who goes to a snowy, cold European city to adopt a child. The film has a couple of A-listers attached already in Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. Apple Films will oversee production. Actress Anne Hathaway had some choice words for the press, more specifically, the paparazzi. While filming The Devil Wears Prada 2 in New York City recently, the press got a little too aggressive for her liking. The Les Mis star told the Vultures to relax and back off because there were children on the set. Hathaway and Meryl Streep are both back for the sequel. The much-anticipated follow-up to The Devil Wears Prada hits theaters May 1st of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms. Low tonight in the mid-60s. High tomorrow, mid-70s. Mostly cloudy, still some storms around, and a high in the mid-70s Sunday. Drier and pleasant weather into much of next week. It's 71 right now.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen, and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we are really pleased and honored to have Sean Sherman, known as the sous chef. That's you're early for me to say sous chef and author. Ogola Lakota chef, author, and activist. You know, there's just so many different accolades that we could say about Sean, but he's well known, many awards winning. And Sean, I have you on for a couple of reasons today. One, that I'm blessed to have you on, and two, we have new things happening with you, and I want to talk a little bit about what's going on politically. But first, let's talk about what's new with you, Sean, and I know some exciting information's coming out. Welcome.
Well, you know, I mean, we have a lot of things going on this year because we're getting ready to launch a new restaurant concept this winter sometime called Shota, which obviously refers to smoke in Dakota language. And it's going to be a cool Native barbecue joint right on Franklin, on 26th and Franklin. So just right there on the Native American Cultural Corridor, not too far from Indian Center and all the other places. And that'll be a super cool, fun space, for just a new space for us to all hang out. And behind that restaurant, of course, is this huge kitchen in that building. And we're launching a program called Meals for Native Institutions, so we can start doing large format foods for schools and hospitals all across the state. And we're getting ready to launch that same program in Bozeman, Montana, as we're getting ready to make our first food lab with our nonprofit Natives, and stretching out that way. And so we're getting ready to hire that first position basically right away. We're trying to get that position released today, actually. So I have our first regional director. And then beyond that, I'm just my life is a little travel heavy, and I'm getting ready for a travel run. But we'd be hitting a lot of really cool spaces, working with some fun folks out in Seattle and Rapid City and New York for Climate Week, and Sacramento and LA, and kind of all over the place the next couple months. But when I get back to Minneapolis in early November, my second book launch will happen, called The Turtle Island, with my co-authors Kate Nelson and Kristen Donnelly. And this was a little over 3 years of work, and it's a pretty massive book, and it's really pretty amazing to see it in real form, because I've only ever seen it in the PDFs, and you know, the photography is amazing and beautiful. And we're just really excited to have this live on the shelf, because this looks at all of North America from basically Mexico through Alaska, and all of the various regions, and just trying to showcase diversity of North America and get like people to, you know, see past colonial borders, see past who's speaking English and Spanish, and realize that there's a lot of indigeneity here that we could be celebrating. And we need to start working towards that, of understanding the true foundation of culinary in North America through our indigenous lens.
Hey, well, that's exciting. Your first book, Indigenous Kitchen, earned a Beard Award, I believe, and inspired people across the country to explore indigenous foods.
Absolutely. You know, and when we started that book, we started it way back in 2015. So that was 10 years ago, or more than that nowadays, because it was early. And Beth Dooley and I back then with that one just started working hard. And I just wanted to create that book as an educational component, because I started doing a lot of traveling and speaking engagements and pop-up dinners and working with different tribes. And I just wanted to have something to carry around to kind of showcase the philosophy around what we were doing, with kind of highlighting what are indigenous foods today, and how are we, you know, how was I approaching that as a chef, you know, and, you know, utilizing the philosophy I created back then of just cutting out colonial ingredients and removing things like dairy and wheat flour and cane sugar and beef, pork, and chicken, you know, and maybe unpopularly sometimes removing fry bread. But at the time, it was worth the commitment to just showcase that there was so much amazing, cool culinary foods out there, you know, that fry bread can always have its place and be around, and it's cool. But we have so much more that can identify us as indigenous peoples all over the place. And that one piece shouldn't identify all of us as indigenous peoples, you know.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. Sean, we have a national audience here. How do people catch up and follow you and what you're doing on social media, website? Could you let people on that are driving around in their car know how to get in touch with the great work that you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, people can find me pretty easily just by going to my name. So SeanSherman.com, I have a lot of places there, and you can find leads to all the other organizations and my nonprofit natives.org, which is growing rather quickly. You can find links to awamini.com there, and Indigenous Food Lab. And, you know, if you want to watch some of the educational videos that our team has been putting up, you can go to Indigenous Food Lab on YouTube. And we have over 200 video educational native videos uploaded already the past couple of years. So that's been a lot of body of work too that we continue to do, and we're excited to start doing some of those in Montana region also very soon here.
Well, I remember when you just had a food truck, and is that still around? I know it's sometimes parked outside Awamini. Do you still have the food truck?
Yeah, we still have it. Well, we kind of converted it to a food trailer. We sold the original physical truck to White Earth a long time ago. And then we kept the brand Tatanka truck. And so we put it on a smaller trailer, kind of vowed to never put a kitchen on an engine and never again, because that was difficult with that truck always breaking down on us. But now we have a trailer and we drag it out quite a bit. So we go to a few different events here and there. And, you know, a lot of times if there's special events at Awamini, we'll drop it below Awamini down there too. And so it's nice to have, because it has come in as a really great resource just to be able to continue to kind of spread out, you know. And we're looking forward to, as long as, I mean, I know there's some news that Farm Aid might be shutting down because of strikes, but if it does go through, our Awamini team is featuring some foods there, which is going to be, hopefully we'll be able to pull it off if it doesn't get canceled or moved. But right now we've been working really hard on creating bison corn dogs that we're calling res dogs for the day.
Yeah, heck yeah. That sounds great. You know, I just, Sean, I just have to switch gears right now. And one of the things that's going on here, and you get around the country and, well, around the world too, with all this gun violence, and it's just not okay. I've talked to my guests about this a lot. And how are you protecting your soul, and how are you getting through this, being, you know, a figurehead out there too?
I mean, I think it's really important to talk about everything directly and not just hide behind social media memes and, you know, just hide behind social media angst. And I think that we need to really come together to have conversations, because it's important for us to have conversations to really try to pull us more towards the center instead of trying to be left and right. Like, we have to really move our dial towards being human, you know. And gun violence is a massive issue in the United States, you know, because, like, I grew up with guns because we grew up on the res or in the country, but we utilized guns as tools, you know. We used it for hunting, and they were around if we needed them, you know. And we were taught never to point a gun at a person, you know. It's a simple rule like that, right? And so it's really hard because you see so much division and hate, you know, going on out there, and, you know, blaming of people. And I just feel like, you know, we really need to come together, because there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. There's a lot of, you know, kind of, I would call it false morals and values, because they'll blame one side and, you know, strengthen their own, even if people are doing the same thing. And so, like, there's obviously a lot of feelings out there, and I feel like we need to be talking about that, but we need to be making solutions, not just blaming one side or the other. I mean, because guns are the problem. And they're trying to say guns aren't the problem, it's the humans. Then why are we giving humans guns then, you know? So we need to figure something out way better.
Yeah, well, and then, you know, again, how are you protecting your own personal soul? I mean, you're talking about this, but it's got to be a little angst sometimes when you're out in public in a big public area.
I just feel like now is not the time to be silent with all of these things, because, you know, what I see is a lot of the rise of authoritarianism happening here in the United States. I see a lot of dehumanization of people in color. And as coming from Indigenous communities and Black communities and other communities across the United States, like, that's always been a constant for us to be able to, you know, have all of this kind of racist rhetoric and all of this kind of dehumanization against us for who we are and where we grew up and what color our skin is and all of these things, and what language we speak. whatever it might be. So I think it's really important to be strong. If you have a platform, then we better utilize it, you know, and we should be really working on coming together. Like, we shouldn't be infighting as Indigenous peoples or people of color in general. And we should be strengthening ourselves by, you know, coming together over a table. And that's why I stick with food, because I think food is a really powerful language. I think food really pulls people together from different perspectives. And I think that, you know, we can set a table for people to come together to have real conversations and to make real solutions, you know, instead of just hiding behind money and power and all of these things, you know. But I do not believe in white supremacy. I do not believe in all the hate that's going on out there. And I will definitely stand up and have my words against it, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we have our friend, Lieutenant Governor, running for Senate, and really excited to support her. I know I've been down to the Sous Chef, or to Awamni, excuse me, for a lot of things that she showed up for, and it's great to have her in the community and also a voice for Indigenous people across Turtle Island.
Absolutely. You know, I run into Peggy quite often and a huge supporter, and really happy to help out wherever we can with her campaign, and would love to see her move towards that seat, you know. And I think a lot of us have been very proud of Peggy's successes, you know, and politicians are a crazy world to put yourself into, because you're thrown in the middle of it, you know, and you have everything on all sides. And I can't imagine the kind of, you know, hate and love that's coming in on all the sides, you know. So it's a lot. I'm sure it's a lot to juggle, but, you know, she's a strong individual, and we'd be very proud if we had another Native voice up there.
Absolutely. Sean, we got less than a minute left here. Can you tell people how they can get the book and when the book's coming out one more time?
Well, we have some pre-orders right now, so you can find it online, but we're pushing people towards Birchbark here in the cities, and we're selling them as signed books too. So when I get back in November, I'm going to be down there signing a lot, because I know they've already sold a ton of pre-orders, so I know my wrist is going to wear out signing these things. But yeah, I would, if you can, I would order from Birchbark, but of course you can pre-order online through any of the big ones if you want to.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sean Sherman, the Sous Chef, Turtle Island, the book's coming out and all the great things. And I can't wait to be at Awamni again. I love the food and I love the atmosphere. Thank you so much, Sean.
All right. Ingwich. Pulamay.
Have a great day.
Yep.
Wow. Thank you so much.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
Hi, I'm Tiergan.
And I'm Hadley.
We're two of the very first listeners, and we're
still listening to Native Roots Radio.
We got two people listening.
We got two.
Awesome. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. And I'm your host, Robert Pilot. This is our fun facts. And Wendy, I really appreciate you coming on today. Wendy, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, first I want to say in this portion of the show, we want to bring awareness to our Minnesota Wolves. Say no to the hunt.
No.
Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Jihihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hannah Jinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society of the United States. I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I have some fun facts today. We're going to keep things light.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Robert,
yeah.
Scientists have observed octopuses punching fish, sometimes seemingly without any clear reason other than potential spite or to control the fish's behavior during collaborative hunts. These punches are described as a way to deter fish from interfering with the octopus's meal, relocate their position during a hunt, or even to punish them. So the octopus, scientists have seen like the octopus is just like sitting there in the corner and a fish goes by and gives them a punch.
That's crazy. They don't live that long. That really bummed me out when I watched that documentary.
Yes. My octopus teacher, I believe it's still on Netflix. It's really awesome if you get a chance.
Won an Academy Award.
Yeah. It's really awesome. Yeah. So I wanted to ask you some questions about how long the pregnancy of different animals lasts.
Oh,
yeah. We did this a really long time ago and it just came up and it's really amazing. So let's talk about an elephant. How many months do you think an elephant is pregnant for? So
give me
a human woman is pregnant for 9 months.
I know that.
So what about it? What would you just guess? An elephant.
Well, they're so big.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about 12 months? A year?
22 months.
Wow.
They're pregnant for 22 months.
Okay. Now this is going to help me answer the other questions because the bigger they are, the longer they're pregnant, sounds like.
Well, that could be true. What about a walrus?
Cuckoo, cuckoo. they're about, I'd say 12 months.
15 months.
Oh.
Yeah. See? How about a dolphin?
15 months.
10. How about a cow?
Oh, 10.
Yes, 10, 9 to 10 months.
Wait, whoa.
Yep, 9 to 10 months. Woo, one in a row.
Yeah.
One in a row. Hippopotamus is hippopotamus.
I want to say 18 months.
8 months.
Wow, less.
I know. That was surprising. How about a goat?
Greatest of all time?
Goats.
You're the greatest of all time.
Oh, is that what that means? Greatest of all time?
Yeah.
I really love goats. They're very friendly little animals.
6 months.
5 months. Close.
Wow.
Yeah. How about a cat? Do you know how long a cat is pregnant for? Do you have any idea?
I would think 6 months too.
Yeah. See, I wouldn't have had any idea if I didn't see this chart. I would have probably thought 6 months, but only 2 months.
What?
Yeah, a cat is only pregnant for 2 months.
How many
could you imagine?
Litters can they have a year?
Well, I don't know.
Do they have to recover
and
all that?
They can have a lot. Yeah, and they have a lot of kittens at the same time. They don't have one or two. They have like six, you know. How about a dog? What do you think a dog is?
What was the cat again?
The cat was 2 months pregnant.
3 months.
Dog is also 2 months.
What?
I know. Isn't this crazy?
Did we really talk about this one time?
One time, a very long time ago. I can't remember it either. So, you know. How about a kangaroo? Do you have any?
Well,
I know, right?
Aren't they in the pouch for
a random animal?
Do they grow in the pouch or how does a kangaroo?
I think it comes out and then it's in the pat. Well, yeah, I think it is. You think you're right. I have to look that up. So a kangaroo is pregnant for how long?
Well, they're so little. I would say like 2 months.
4 to 5 weeks.
Two months.
A month. 1 month. 4 weeks is a month.
Right.
How about a little mouse? You think a mouse? How long is the
mouse pregnant before conception?
or not conception, before a delivery. I want to say 6 weeks.
3 weeks.
Oh, I meant to say 3 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So when you see like bumblebees, when you see bumblebees in the evening sitting on flowers, they're old bees. Yeah, they're old. So they're old, or they might be sick, and they don't return to the hive at night. Instead, they sleep on a flower. And if they see another sunrise, they'll bring nectar back to the hive, but they don't want to burden the hive. So they know when they're Jeez. Sick, and they know when their time's up.
That's crazy.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So they know. So if you see a bee at night, it shouldn't be out and about, or, you know, and they could sleep inside the flower.
Hey, to change subject, and we talked about this a couple shows ago about the firefly.
Yeah.
I saw somebody put something out on a firefly, what you can do to preserve them. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
It was interesting. One of the things was not have a light on in your backyard at night.
Oh, okay.
It was like stuff like that. We'll have to talk about it some other show, and I'll have to send that to you, because I thought of you right away because we had talked about that.
And you call them?
Fireflies?
Fireflies. We used to call them lightning bugs.
Huh.
Yeah, we used to call them lightning bugs. But yeah, you hardly see any of them. Any of them.
There's one down the block. We only see one, right? There's one down the block.
One down the block?
There's one firefly that lives down the block.
Oh, he lives down the block? Really?
Yeah.
Do you think he lives in the same spot? You don't think they fly around in different spots?
Well, I've seen him in front of the same house.
I'm really happy because I believe, I don't know for sure, but I believe that we have a cardinal nest in that
In our bush?
Bushy tree in the front. Yes.
Wow.
I saw a male and a female fly out of there, and they came to our bird feeder.
That's crazy, because I was going to trim that. Now I have to let it go.
Yeah, don't trim it. Or do it by hand, like really carefully.
I remember Misko was trimming it, and then she showed me that those years ago that she came over here and trimmed the side. Mm-hmm. There was a nest there, and I said, yeah, leave it.
Oh, yeah.
So there's probably a nest in there they're using, but that seems so low.
Well, it's very, it's covered. You know what I mean? It's kind of like a hedgy, bushy tree bush kind of thing. I don't even know what it is, but.
Well, the way you feed the animals across this 5-block radius, they come to see you. I'm sure they're going, we need to like be close to these peanuts.
Well, the whole thing is too, you know, we've been giving a lot more sunflower seeds than normal. But they're expensive to buy. You know?
I saw a crow with a carrot today. Oh. I wanted to call you. There was five crows out in the backyard. God.
I love those. And he had a carrot. He did. Okay. So yeah, every night I chop up one carrot. I cut it up. I don't know who eats it, but every day the carrot's gone.
I think different people, I call them people, eat it.
Well, I know Rocky comes, Rocky Raccoon. He comes, and sometimes we get possums, and I don't know. The chipmunks, the squirrels, I don't know if they eat them, but remember we saw that. I don't know if I have enough time for this, but only 1 minute. All right. I don't have time to talk about the killer bees, but we will talk about those again.
Give me a fun fact quick. We got a minute.
A fireworks. Okay. All right. We want no fireworks.
Right.
They're bad for the environment. They're bad for animals. They're bad for pets. They're bad for people who have PTSD, soldiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want them. And bees become disoriented and they don't go back to their hives. Birds have panic attacks at night, causing mass deaths. Wild animals raising babies abandon their dens in fear. Fish and other animals perish after ingesting fireworks. Compassion animals have anxiety and panic attacks. Humans have PTSD. So silence the fireworks.
Gosh, yes. In our lifetime. And I know other countries are doing the...
Italy has a city that has silent fireworks.
Yeah. And then they do those drones too.
Yeah,
hey,
those are awesome.
We're still here. We are the seventh generation. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Wendy.
Yeah.
Native Roots Radio signing off.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Matt and Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump posts on social media that a third deadly U.S. military strike on an alleged drug smuggling vessel leaves three men dead. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
Two previous military strikes this month against alleged drug smuggling boats in the same region have killed 14 people.
Health Secretary RFK Jr.'s CDC vaccine advisory panel declines to recommend the COVID-19 shot for all Americans. According to CBS News medical contributor Dr. Celine Gounder,
you can walk into a retail pharmacy and request a COVID vaccine. You may just need to have a conversation with the pharmacist before you receive it.
President Trump, after a phone call with China's President Xi Jinping today, says
the TikTok deal is well on its way, as you know, and the investors are getting ready.
The president also says he and President Xi will meet in South Korea in coming weeks, and he'll later go to China. CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.